Welcome to Off the Cut, a podcast where we talk about building, making,
and answering all of your questions.
I'm Eric from Spensley Design Co.
And I'm Zach from Zach Builds. If you have a question that you would like us to answer on air, you can send it to offthecutpodcast@gmail.com.
You can find both of us on YouTube, Instagram, and unfortunately, because we have to keep up with kids, you can find us on TikTok too.
All right, now let's get into the show.
Welcome to the not the Green Sitters podcast, the worst podcast in the woodworking industry, but the best woodworking podcast. And that's Off the Cut. And because we have done this now 79 times, this is episode 79, where up in Toronto today is known as Tuesday, August 29th, 2023. But here in Ohio, today is respectfully dedicated to the food of the day, chop suey.
Huh. I don't really know what chop suey is. I know the System of a Down song.
Okay, that's the only thing I know about it.
Yeah. Is it like a chopped up noodle dish? It's like short noodles?
I'm going to guess it's like a Thai dish.
Yeah, it kind of looks like it. You know what's interesting is I think System of a Down, they're like an Armenian band, I think. But I don't think chop suey is Armenian food.
Is it just like a scrambled mishmash of a bunch of vegetables?
It looks like a stir fry to me.
Kind of, yeah. I mean, yeah. They all kind of look like stir fry.
All right, Zach, so I'm looking at the photo. Would you eat it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'd eat basically anything.
Yeah,
I know. But that looks pretty good. That looks yummy.
Yeah. I'm in for it. I'd give it I don't have a lot to add, but I'd give it a pass. I would definitely eat it.
Would you order it at a restaurant if you saw it on the menu?
I would now.
Yeah,
that might be the next thing I order.
Yeah. Okay, all right, there we go.
Wait, I'm going to look up chop suey near me. Chop. Oh, I didn't put order suey.
I just noticed your poster in the background.
Did you like that?
Yeah, I do. I like that quite a bit.
So
that would be good merch.
I was talking to Sedge and Lucy and Chris from Festool today because I'm doing their Festool podcast thing tomorrow, and we had a pre-call. Really, we're just shooting shit for half hour. Oh, there it is already.
Explicit
for a half hour. He didn't notice the sign back there.
That's so funny.
So for everybody at home, if you're familiar with the National Park Service's Smokey Bear, the only you Smokey can prevent Bear. Forest fires.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
It's the same poster, but I edited it so it says only you can prevent the Green Sitters podcast.
Is it just me or is there no "the" there? It says only you can prevent Green Sitters podcast.
Yeah, that's all it says. I didn't have room for the.
Yeah, okay.
And I was doing it about 3 minutes before I was jumping on the call with Lucy, but Sedge was late, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But you know, they did notice it.
For everybody just listening at home, it's literally just an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. Not even color.
No.
It's like the black lowest quality photocopy you can imagine.
That's probably why you didn't see it.
Yeah, maybe. You need a 4K webcam so they can zoom in on the background details.
Yeah, I know. I think this one is 1080 on my new laptop.
There you go.
I'm stepping up in the world.
Yeah, but, nice.
So when I was talking to Sedge today, he was like, he goes, I love the back and forth banter that we have on our podcast. He's like, it cracks me up so much that we even get patrons on their side get into it and patrons on your side get into it. I was like, yeah, it's great. He's like, you're welcome to roast our podcast tomorrow, but I'm not allowed to acknowledge that I'm in that.
During
9 to 5 while he's at work, he's not really they're aware that he's doing all this stuff, but he's not allowed to basically make the Festool connection between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't talk about his Sedge Tool channel or ask him questions about the Green Sitters podcast tomorrow.
Aren't companies so weird?
I know.
You just have to pretend. Everybody's just basically living a lie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, right. Yeah, I'm not a content creator, but they're also kind of probably secretly happy that he's a content creator because he's like constantly pushing the brand a little bit.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why I asked Lucy, who's the social media like coordinator girl, basically. I was like, can I like bring it up and like give him hell about it? And she's like, yeah, you can like, you know, say like, oh, yeah, I listen to this podcast that's awful called the Green Suitors Podcast. But like he is not really allowed to like continue the dialogue on that. So she's like, if you're going to burn them, just kind of do like a drive by. Like,
yeah.
And then like keep moving or something like that. I was like, it's coming. It's coming.
It's actually kind of perfect in a lot of ways because he can't respond.
I'd be like, what inspired you to start the podcast? He'd be like, honestly, I was listening to this awful podcast, Green Screws Podcast, available on Apple and Spotify. And I got inspired to just make something not only better, but tolerable, really. And he can't even say, anything about it.
It's the perfect crime, really.
It is the perfect crime. And so, oh, speaking of the Green Suitors Podcast, I do want to clear the air. So they just put out episode 100.
I know.
And, you know, in the beginning, they're like, yeah, you know, we talked about having the guys from Off the Cut on the show. But, you know, they didn't want to ruin their podcast. Here's the truth, guys. They asked us to be on the show, and because we have integrity, we turned them down. And they were begging for us to get on the show. And we're like, guys, hell no, we're not going on your crappy podcast.
You should have seen them grovel.
It was hilarious. Ronnie was in tears.
Full on lower lip quivering.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing.
Yeah. They said they were going to lose all their patrons if we didn't help them out.
Yeah, well, we need to clear the air. Clear the air.
What's that, Derek?
I said, what was the Patreon cut that they offered again?
Oh,
wasn't good. Oh, yeah, yeah. It wasn't enough to make it worth our while. Let's just say that.
Yeah, they're like, if you get on the show, we will give you a certain percentage of our Patreon monthly pledges, and we're like, guys. We have morals. We have integrity. We can't be on your show. But if you want to be listen to their show, it's available on Apple and Spotify, where all bad podcasts are found. But anyway, what have you been doing, Zach, the last like week or so? What have you been up to?
Oh, baby, I've been doing a lot of 3D modeling. So, okay, so I'm in this weird position where I agreed to a sponsorship with a company. They said that they were going to send – it's a 3D printing company. They said they're going to sponsor another a video. One? Yeah, another one. I have a problem.
I'm so, Zach, and I'm addicted to 3D printers. Yeah.
I had all three of my 3D printers going today, just printing like different components of a project. So there is some practical value to having multiples. But okay, fair. So let me kind of explain the situation. I agreed to do the sponsorship with them. They are going, and it's a special type of 3D printer. They say they're going to send out the 3D printer and all the accoutrement for it. And this was early August. And the delivery date for the final finished video was September 9th.
Yeah.
Well, fast forward, it is now August 29th. And I still don't have the 3D printer. And they're not even sure when it can arrive. When they're going to be able to get it to me. They said that they're dealing with a supply chain shortage on their side, and it might be a little while before they can get the materials to me.
Okay.
So now I'm kind of in this position where it's like, well, do I just shelf this entire project and then start move on to something else? Or do I – because I'm kind of wondering, are they ever really going to be able to get this product to me? I kind of get the sense that they're flaking on me a little bit.
Was this a deal that you procured with Mark, or agent, for anybody listening?
Yes it is. So they're following helping? He is. So, well, it's not him directly, but one of his team is following up on a regular basis with this company, and they're like, you know, hey, any update on the shipping. And this company is just kind of ghosting them.
Right.
Like, they'll respond maybe to one out of every three emails and like, yeah, we're just having a hard time getting it.
Honestly, what I would do is I would do all of like, So what's the project? Is it something that you're excited to build?
Yeah, it's something that I'm very excited to build. So I'll show you. I have it here. Hold on. Let me see if I can pick it up. It's a modernized Nintendo 64.
Oh, you were telling me about this.
Yeah, so...
That's slick as hell.
Yeah, so I've been working on it. I have it. So you'll see, like, when I held it up, it's like, I just have it as, like, a box right now, right? But that's just so I can figure out all the measurements where everything is. And I've printed it with a conventional 3D printer, so I'm kind of, like, doing drafts in the background.
Right, right.
But I'm so jazzed on this project that I'm like, I would almost just rather scrap the partnership and just go ahead and make it with the tools that I do have, not wait for the special 3D printer, just get it done with everything that I have. But it's a relatively high value sponsorship, so right. I'm kind of like in this holding pattern right now. I've done just about all I can do without the printer, and I've been talking about it on my stories, and people are asking me like, where's the Nintendo 64 build, is it coming? So
you've done all like the rough drafts and stuff, and you've pretty much gotten like the model to the point where you're like, all right, I'm ready to rock. And this is the resin printer, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have the ability to like do more revisions? Like, you know, really, really try to dial it in or something like that?
Well, that's the thing. I do probably have like another probably 5-6 hours that I could put into this project. And just in terms of revisions, trying to get everything like dialed in as tight as possible. But I also wanted some of that to be in the initial video, right? But now I'm kind of in this position where when the final video comes out, they're not going to want me to say like the first few times I made it with my other 3D printer over here. They're going to want to pretend like their 3D printer is the only 3D printer in the world because brands are weird like that.
Yeah. So the reason you're having the hesitation of basically stopping this project now or continuing on saying F the partnership is because like you're excited about it.
Yeah, I'm legitimately excited about it. I think I have other people who are kind of following along who are excited about it. And I don't know, like... How long would you delay a project? Like, it's been a month now, and I haven't really gotten any firm information on when I'm going to receive this 3D printer. Like, how long do you wait? It's like the you're on a like a blind date with somebody. How long do you wait at the restaurant for them to show up once they're late?
Truly, as somebody who works in logistics, 1 month delay, and is it a brand new product?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're having to... like ship this in through the ports. It's coming overseas. It's going to take, you know, a while to get over on a freighter. Like honestly, 1 month isn't bad for a brand new product that's not even on market yet. Like I would say if you don't have it by like Halloween, I would say something about it. And also bring up the possibility with, you know, one of Mark's teammates. I don't think we need to throw out all the names there.
Everyone knows
who Mark is. It would just confuse people if we say other names, right?
Yeah.
One of the girls that's on his team, I bet you might possibly be able to work in something that's just like, oh, because of the delay, you know, our rates have gone up 3%, 7%, 11%, like that. It's a potential.
Yeah. It's something I can throw out there. I don't know. Going back to my analogy before of if I'm waiting for somebody at dinner and they don't show up, I'll give them 15 minutes. And then if there's no communication, I'm usually out of there.
Right away.
That's why my general MO is to like cut and run in a lot of these positions. I don't really want to shelf the project. That being said, I have other things I could work on, but I don't know. There's something that doesn't feel right to me about stopping a video right in the middle of production and like leaving it for a couple months.
And I think we should clarify to everybody listening, it's not Zach being pretentious about the sponsorship. It's I can tell you're so excited about working on this project. You have so much steam. You're like, I did this part. I'm like, I'm ready to dial it in. I can't wait to get this 3D printer and really like bang out these details of the project. And then somebody just goes, hold up, wait. And you're like,
yes,
but I'm so excited about this project.
And I think it would be a different story if there was a good communication the whole way through. Like if they were like, we're waiting for this thing and I think we're going to have it, you know, September 1st. But it's just kind of like nothing. It's radio silence.
That's frustrating.
Yeah. So
for,
I
for anybody at home, think of you're making a coffee table. You got the top together, and like you're making some crazy base, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, ooh, but to connect these, I need this like weird piece of hardware. So like you mill up all your leg stock, you got your tabletop all sanded, you order this piece of hardware, and then hey, it's back ordered. And now you're like, well, do I wait or do I like put everything off to the side and start a new project? It's like you don't know what to do.
Yeah. And the store is like and the store is telling you they don't know how long it's going to be back ordered for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, well, do you just switch gears and grab a different connector?
Right. And you're probably like me, where if you stop a video for weeks, maybe months, and try to go back, you don't have that kind of same, or even a project, you don't have that same kind of excitement, that like momentum going. It's like starting from scratch.
Yeah. Like every day when I hit the shop to work on this project, I was excited. I was like, oh, today I'm going to do micro-soldering today. I'm going to do this and this, all these things. And I was like, and I legitimately can't wait to, I'm really excited about the resin printer. Like I want to try that.
Right.
So it feels bad to completely lose momentum on a project, and potentially for not just a week, 2 weeks, we're talking potentially a month or 2 months here.
Right.
So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Could you continue the project with one of the other? Cause it's just a 3D printing project. So could you continue it with a different one, knock out your project to satisfy yourself, and then ramp up a different 3D project whenever they come around?
I have considered that. I had this big vision for this project, and it kind of like ties into the retro theme, because one of the cool things you can do with a resin printer is you can print in clear plastics.
Ooh.
And there's all these retro Nintendo 64s that were done in clear plastics. Yeah. So I really wanted to marry those two themes together, because not only am I, you know, it not only is a cool wink and nod to the retro aspect of it, it's also something that's kind of unique about resin-based 3D printers. So not only am I showing off a high point of the project, it could only really be done, or the high point of the product, but it could only really be done with that particular product.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at emotionally. Thank you for letting me vent. I appreciate this therapy session, you two.
No, dude. I totally get it. I mean, that's the same as like, let's just say I like went and power carve this coffee table. I'm still waiting for Miranda to want to go out in the garage and power carve. Yeah. And like we get it all carved, right? And we're like, this is sick. And then I go to get epoxy, and then it's just like, oh, I gotta wait 3 months to get epoxy now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You kind of lose the excitement, and like you and I have talked about, the whole reason we've kind of gotten to the content stuff is because we enjoy building and making what we're excited and engaged in with it at that time.
Yeah, exactly.
And if now you're just like, Zach, you got to work on something else, you're like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I want to keep going on the project that I'm going on right now.
Yeah.
Have you filmed any of it yet?
Oh yeah, tons of it. Like I have 100 gigabytes of footage for this project already.
So you're like a third of the way done.
You need to grow a full beard for whenever you come back to the rest of it.
Yeah, well, like that's the thing. I'm gonna be an old man by the time I get this thing. I'm gonna look. Not only will I have a beard, but I'll just be more wrinkled and weathered.
Yeah, yeah, that's possible. And let me tell you, people will call you out.
Oh yeah.
If something like that happens, I got a couple people grilling me in my last video that I just put out. They're like, it's August. Why are you wearing a winter coat? It's like, cause this video was filmed a year ago and I just got around to putting it out.
That's funny. I didn't know. When did you last put out a video? Like recently?
I think on Friday.
Yeah,
what? I'm gonna somewhere sue the people at YouTube. I saw
that somebody commented about the table saw being not the current one right now. Yeah,
that's funny.
Well, I mean, technically, I haven't used the gold table saw in any videos. It's only been visible in ad reads.
Yeah. How could you use that table saw? It's too nice.
And I mean, like
the gold finish. I know it's already wearing through, isn't it?
Oh, I already hacked it up. I accidentally set my sander on it, and it didn't stop.
and it's big old sander marks.
Oh no.
That coating is like paper thin.
Yeah. I wonder why they do that. You should talk to the people at Harvey, because I think that's, you know, it looks nice when you first get it, but it's going to look like hell in all your videos from now on when it's all scratched up.
Oh, yeah.
Did they sell a reapplication kit?
I don't think so.
I wonder what the finish even is. Like, do you know, is the top made out of steel?
So it's all cast iron, and then it's coated with titanium nitride.
Oh, okay. I would think titanium nitride. Well, titanium's strong. I don't know about nitride.
Right. Like, it's supposed to be like a really hard, like really slick coating. But I mean, if you sand it off, like that's what happened.
Yeah. What about just like normally pushing wood through it? Have you worn anything off near the blade?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. So it was really just the sander that did it then.
Yeah, it was operator error. The operator's a moron and set a sander on it that was still running.
You know, the worst, everybody needs to get a sander with like a really aggressive brake on it, because nothing is worse than that waiting 10 problem. Seconds for the sander to spin down when you're done with it. Like, come on. Because what does everybody do when the sander's spinning down? You jam it on the table and you press it down to kill the momentum of it.
Well, that was my problem. Is I have like the Makita 5-inch sander thing. It's like $100, just a standard like random orbit sander.
I think I have the same one.
And I was at the Vestool charity build thing like in the winter. I literally got back from that, and then I sanded something the next day. Well, I had been using like all Vestool stuff that whole time, obviously. And like their 150 something sander, like you turn it off and it just goes whoosh, and it's stopped.
Yeah.
Well, I was used to that. I've been using it for a couple days. And so I just stopped sanding and I set it on the table saw.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Makita one takes like 10 seconds to turn off. So it hacked up the table saw and it just launched itself on the floor. I was like,
I've done that so many times. Every tool should have a break. Like circular saws, table saws, miter saws. I love when you're using a tool and just the second you're off the trigger, it's just like, meh.
And the DeWalt trim router. That's why it's the best one.
Yeah, I'm so spoiled because like that's the only trim router that I've used in years. Do other trim routers not have brakes?
All of them do not.
Okay.
But I don't know which do specifically, but I know for a fact that not everyone does.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice feature, especially on a trim router, because that thing is spinning fast. And if you're just relying on moment like the like air resistance to slow it down, it's going to take a while.
And what does every single person do with the trim router? They hold it with the bit on the bottom.
Yep.
They lift it up. Mm-hmm. They press the off button and they immediately set it down on upside down. So now you just have this exposed bit spinning at like 20,000 RPM.
Pointed right at your face. No problem.
Pointed right at your face. And your next reaction is because you're going to take your right hand, you're going to flip it over. And now you're going to bring your hand back up. And like you have such a high likelihood of hitting that router bit. It's scary, man.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I do love that DeWalt trim router, but I do also have a big grievance with it.
Ooh, please air your grievance.
How long does it take you to locate the switch on it every time you go to use it?
Oh my God. You're like, hey there, hell there. You're on this side. You're on this side. Where are you?
Every time I use it, I have to search for 10 seconds to find the little dinky switch on it. It's insane.
Not intuitive at all.
It's not where your hand is.
That bigger plunge. I got both the trim router and the bigger plunge one. That bigger plunge one, it's right there where you want it.
Right.
See?
Like, I don't have a problem with that one, but yeah, I hear what you're saying about the trim router. I always find I'm hunting for it whenever I start.
Yeah.
Dude, that's what I love about the Vestool router is it's like it has like a gun trigger is how you hold it. And it's just boom, it's right there.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's the best.
Those routers are also bananas expensive.
Oh, yeah? How much is it?
Oh, dude, I don't know. I'm pretty sure. Look up OF1400, which is their like 2-2.25 horsepower router. It's got to be $700.
Is it a trim router or a plunge router?
It's like a 2.5 horsepower router. It's sort of like their plunge model one.
Okay, okay.
How much is it, Derek? I'm sure. Well, Derek, while you look it up, let us interrupt us when you figure out. But like, the thing works like a charm. Yeah. But it is not cheap. Like, I mean, it's like 2-3x the cost of most other routers. But
yeah, well, that's Festool in general, yeah. Though.
Was it $699?
Okay, American, so probably $900 Canadian.
Yeah, that's a lot for a router, huh, Zach?
That's a lot. That's a lot for a router. When I was at the Festool event, I met the guy who was like the North American social media guy or whatever. He's like, "Oh, drop me an email. Like, I'd love to work with you."
Was it Derek?
I don't think so. I got his name written down somewhere on my phone. Anyways, but I just completely spaced on it. I forgot to do it, and now it's been like 4 weeks. Well, it's been more than that. It's been like 12 weeks, so it's like, it'd be a bit out of the blue.
Zach, this is not the first time you've done that, talking to people. You tell me, you're like, "Oh, yeah, I met so-and-so. I'm so jazzed." And I'm like, did you ever follow up with them? You're like, "Never. Ah, man, I forgot, and now it's too late."
I am not first of all, I have, crippling social anxiety. So I avoid talking to people and sending emails in general. And then, I think that's the main driver of me not following up on things.
I finally followed up on an email that I had out. So I told you I was talking with Jay Katz about some potential things coming up in the future.
Yeah. Totally.
A lot of stuff that he hadn't brought out to the public yet. So I don't want to like spoil that. But dude, I had that email in my inbox. I was like meaning to reply to it with some action steps. And I'm just like, okay, I'll get to that tomorrow. Cause this is not going to be a quick email. This is going to be like a multi-paragraph one, dude. It was almost 3 months and I just replied to it the other day. And I'm like, dude, he's going to hate me. There's no way this is going anywhere right now. But I blamed it on the wedding. I was like, we've been planning the wedding.
Planning the wedding.
People are like, I get that. I get that. We know who else has been planning a wedding.
Our top tier patrons.
Our patrons.
Yeah.
And we don't have any new patrons this week. That's probably okay. Because didn't we take a week off last week or something? 2 weeks
ago? Yeah, we did. We're also at a cadence now too, because we posted the one right away, right? You posted on like a Thursday or something.
Something like that. Yeah, you got some got some podcasts pretty quick succession.
Yeah.
But we wanted to thank our returning top tier patrons. We've got Brooke Appler, Grizzly Bear Woodworks, Dadu. Sorry, I was burping. Too much seltzer. Luke Schmidt, which by the way, Luke's in the live chat, said that the DeWalt trim router put a hole in his arm. Oh, I want to know more about that.
Yeah, Luke, can you add some details on that?
Also, returning top tier patron, Corey Duvall, and shout out to him. I've been annoying the hell out of him today. So about scuba gear, I've been asking a bunch of scuba gear questions. So Corey, appreciate it as always, man. Jason Price, Priceless Pro Designs, Scott Eastman, EC's Woodshop, and of course, the Power Cocker, formerly known as Wes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We appreciate everybody. Those are just some of the folks that have unlocked perks like the After Show, which is a whole nother podcast, merch, our private Discord server, they get their name on the show, and a bunch of other cool stuff, which we are, I guess the reason we started the podcast a little late today is because we're discussing some potential changes and how to make Patreon even better. So stay tuned.
Yes. That. We're trying to find more ways to return value to you guys. Cause we appreciate your support.
Yeah.
Send we're, any ideas you have.
Yeah. Please do send in ideas.
We are very open to suggestion. We're suggestible people.
Right. We're very, we submit to peer pressure for sure.
Yes, exactly.
But what was I going to say? I don't know. I forgot where I was going with all that. But yeah, if you want to send us your money so it doesn't go to the green suitors, that's a perfect place to do it.
That's right. Keep it out of their grubby little mitts.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting
podcast, though.
Should we tease our next potential guest? I mean, I think it's basically confirmed.
Oh, did you talk to him today?
No, I haven't talked to him, but he, but our booking agent, yeah. Jason Grissom, did the legwork for us. So I think it's pretty much locked in.
So, yeah, give some very vague hints that people have to read between the lines, maybe.
Or well, like... he would probably be our furthest away guest, I think.
Okay.
Baguettes right? and gummies.
Baguettes and gummies, yeah, yeah.
Biggest beard?
Biggest... Ooh, Jason's got a pretty big beard sometimes, though.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of an accent, clearly, because furthest away.
Right. Maybe we'll spoil the rest of it on the after show.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
But I feel like that'll get people spinning, get people's minds turning. Mm-hmm. And, we'll see what happens. Oh, we got a response from Luke about the router.
I was using a pattern bit to match a curve for a shelf on a table I was building. Hit a knot in the wood, and it kicked back into my arm.
Oh, God, now I
have to be worried about that. Jeez.
I'll go on the record and say I hate routers.
Yeah, they're the scariest tool in the shop, I think.
Yeah.
What do you what tool are you the absolute most comfortable with?
Ooh. I mean, I was going to say impact driver, but then like have you ever had the thing where that you cam out of a screw?
Oh.
And then it hits your hand
or
God forbid.
And especially it's even worse if it's a Phillips bit. Like, you know, you got your holding a screw and then it cams out and that Phillips bit just goes right into the side of your finger. Oh, man.
Yet another reason why you should use a Robertson bit or a Torx bit because it's flat.
If I get into office, we're not going to talk about healthcare. We're not going to talk about any other sensitive topics we don't need to go into. The thing I'm going to campaign is we are going to eradicate Phillips head and flathead screws. And that is something everyone can get on.
Flathead screws are a crime against humanity.
I agree. I wish we had an audio of people. Do we have an audio of people clapping?
Oh, yeah, we do for sure.
Oh, wait, hold on. Here we go.
Yeah.
That's the people.
So if you had your druthers, would it be a Torx head that you would use for everything?
All right. So pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
Torx strip out less.
Yes.
Than Robertson.
Yes, I agree. They also stay on the end of your screw or your bit pretty well. If you have the right size, you can hold... You can put a 3-inch screw on the end of your bit and hold your driver 90 degrees so that the screw is parallel with the floor and it'll stay on that bit.
Yeah. Yeah. The other pro about Torx is if say it's a T20 screw, if you have a T20 bit, you usually can get away with driving it in.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Sorry.
if your screw is a T20.
Yes.
But you're I don't have the T20 bit to go into the screw. You can actually use a T15 bit, and it'll still work if you put some pressure into it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, you risk stripping out a little bit, but that is the nice thing about Phillips is that, you can use a number 2 and a number 1 Phillips. As long as it's light duty, you can kind of fudge it one way or the other. You don't get that with Robertson. You really have to use the right size with Robertson.
I do find that with the Torx bits, the screws themselves are often a bit more substantial, heavier duty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that may contribute more to them not stripping out, that they're often not, often your Phillips are aluminum or
lighter weight. Very true. Well, here's the thing that happens a lot of time is the Torx bits are usually reserved for higher end fancy hardware.
True.
Yeah.
Whereas Phillips and Robertson tend to be the commodity grade stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Have you seen a weird combo? And I don't see it often where it's a Torx Robertson. And so people don't know what Robertson are. If that's what you guys always call them in Canada. Here they're called square drive or something like that. It's literally just a square. It's like what the Craig pocket hole screws are.
Yes.
Have you seen the one that's like a square drive Torx combo, so you can actually use both of them?
I've seen square and Phillips combo, but I've not seen square and Torx.
Maybe it's square and Phillips.
Okay, hold on. Let me look this up.
I don't know.
Yeah, square and or Torx and Phillips I've seen.
Torx and Phillips. I don't know. It's a good combo, though.
Star in the X.
Yeah. But
I truly, wholeheartedly believe that the only reason Phillips are still around is because, like, if you just have a generic screwdriver, like, if you go over to your Aunt Kathy's house.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, Aunt Kathy, where are your tools? She's going to be like, oh, you know, I got a couple screwdrivers in the kitchen drawer. You know it's a Phillips screwdriver.
For sure. It has momentum. It's ubiquitous. Everybody's got one. They're just kind of around, right?
Right. Right.
It's, yeah. But that's not an excuse for not doing better.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Like the Green Sewers podcast.
Exactly.
Got him.
Brandon Cameron wants to know if we have the 8-point deck screws in Canada. I assume the 8-point, is that not a Torx head? Is that, or is that something different?
So here's an interesting bit about the Torx. It is a registered trademark, and therefore you have to have a license to produce Torx products.
Yes, but there's also Star Drive, which I think is the exact same thing. It's just
very
a cult.
Similar, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that like tissue versus Kleenex?
Yeah, I think so. I think Star Drive is the generic name, and Torx, I think you had to pay for the name Torx, but I think the design is open source, but I could be wrong about that.
We need to make our own driver bit.
Ooh. There are some weird ones out there. Like, there's like hold on. I have seen
the triangle one.
Yeah, I have this kit here that's like, it's the iFixit kit, and I use it a lot for electronics.
Yeah, it's your like miniature bits for like little itty bitty bits and bobs.
Yeah, they're miniature, but like it's just every bit essentially up to the, you know, like T5 is the biggest Torx bit, I think. Oh no, T25 I have here. So it skews smaller, but yeah, like there's a triangle here. There's also this weird one that kind of looks like a horseshoe. Here, I'll try and get the camera to focus on that.
That's not gonna focus.
No, this is pointless.
A horseshoe? What am I
doing? Yeah, it's or like a fork almost.
That's nuts.
I wish I could show it to you. Yeah, there's some weird
ones. So what's
ones
that? Like, have you actually run across using that in any electronics?
Nope, literally never.
But it's cool.
Maybe it's like, I don't know, maybe it's big in China or something like that, like some other market that we don't normally come across. I don't know. There's also tri-wing ones, so it's like a Phillips, but instead of having 4 points, it's got 3.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
Do you have the Nintendo security bits?
Security bits, yeah. There's like a Torx, which is like a hole in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's also E-Torx, which is the opposite. It's like, yeah, it's the opposite. So it's like if Torx is the male end, it's a female that slots over top of it.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But like, are these just like from like different countries? Like, oh, if it's manufactured in Taiwan or Hong Kong or whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. I think a lot of them are specifically designed just to keep people out. Like Nintendo's famous for using the tri-wing screws just to keep, because they don't want people disassembling their electronics. So it's not really a standard anywhere. Oh yeah, there. That's the little horseshoe one I was talking about.
It literally looks like somebody giving you like the peace sign for everybody at home. It's like 2 points, basically.
Yeah, or it's a slot-headed screwdriver with a good section in the middle taken out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a man with the head of a cat and the body of a bear and the foot of a Pegasus.
That's our driver.
What's that? Isn't that from some movie or some TV show? Like they're trying to describe something and he like describes it like that or something.
I'm sure.
It sounds familiar, but
Neither can I. That's interesting, man, though. Bear pig. Do you remember like ever going in the bathroom stalls and like, you know, you go in a public restroom and they have like the sheet metal and they have these screws that you can only turn one way. So like you don't have kids trying to like
take the stalls apart and stuff like that. Next time you're in a public restroom, take a look.
Okay, you know, I will.
Actually, I think I've seen, for that horseshoe-shaped bit, I think I've seen those in what you're talking about. It just looks like two little dots that would fit into.
In the public restroom?
Just in restroom stalls in general. I want to say I've seen those before. Where okay. The bit looks like it's just two dots.
Huh. People are the worst. Have you ever been to a car show?
So like when you go to almost like a trade show kind of thing where they have like
exactly, but they
inside and like an event center. Yeah,
exactly. Yes. And every car company has like their, you know, whatever 10 cars they want to show off that year. You go into every single car, they all have the gear shifter unscrewed and removed because people will just take it.
Really?
Yeah, you've never noticed that? I mean, I guess it's less of a thing now with cars having big integrated shifters, but I used to go all the time back in the day, and all the manual cars would have the little knob from the top of the shifter removed.
Huh.
Because kids would just steal them.
I remember going to car shows, but I probably just didn't pay attention to that because I would have been younger.
Yeah.
My grievance about car shows is you see stuff and you're like, oh man, that's awesome. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's a concept car. Like, yeah, we're not going to put it out. I'm like, this is so much better than the crap that you put out every year.
Yeah, I know. It was when they did my truck, the truck I have right now, they called it the Ford Atlas. And I was like, that thing looks sick. Can you pull up a picture?
Ford Atlas.
Yeah, the Ford Atlas. Search Ford Atlas. Because I first saw it and I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. And then in their defense, it did end up looking pretty close to it, but they just removed a bunch of really cool features from it.
Okay.
And kind of neutered it a little bit by the time. So they start with this like great idea, and then they just kind of neuter it a little bit, and then they come up with a production vehicle.
That's what happened in the Green Series podcast. They had this great idea, and then they just kept neutering it. It just turned out to be, it basically turned into a Chevy. Like, nobody wants that, you know?
Yeah. Ugh. That's my complaint about concept cars. They never look, the finished car never looks anything like the concept car.
No, not at all. Oh, did I tell you, speaking of cars, I tell you I finally got something?
Oh, really?
Oh, did I not? I didn't share this.
No. You said Miranda got a new car recently, but not you. Yeah,
she got the Honda Fit, baby. That's a wicked car. Mm-hmm. But no, we've been talking about the truck thing for a long time. Miranda and I have, as well as, you know, we've talked about it as well. And, you know, I started going looking for a bunch of different cars, figure out what I wanted. And then it was just like, I guess I just have to, you know, just wait until what I want pops up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it pops up. My plan with cars is always buy one. This is just what I personally do, save some money. I usually buy one that's got like 10 to 20,000 miles on it. You know, basically like 2 years old, 1 or 2 years old. Save a wicked amount of money, but it's basically brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I landed on, like, after test driving pretty much every truck that wasn't like a F-250 or like something just massive. I was like,
yeah.
What I like the most is the Tacoma.
Okay. Okay.
And
so you bought a Chevy.
Hell no. So I was like, all right, I'm going to start looking at them. I'm like, these damn Tacomas hold their resale value so much. Used ones are more than new right now.
Yes, or that does happen.
Or it'll have like 50,000 miles on it and it's like $1,500 cheaper than a new one. I'm like, why don't I just get a new one?
Yeah.
And so anyway, like I went in, I like went online. I've never done this in my life. So I went online. I was like, I was like, okay. So I went to the dealership. I was like, I want this with this color and this and this and this feature and this and this. And they're like, yeah, we can't do that. I was like, what do you mean? They go, so the way that Toyota does it is like the way they operate their like whole production line efficiently is they basically make like pre-configured options of like what things are most popular.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they might be like, oh, man, whenever we do, you know, this feature, we also pair it with this one or whatever like that.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So I was like, okay, well, that's a bummer, right? And then they're like, I was like, so can you just, like, order me one of these things? And they go, no.
Huh.
I'm like, okay. So they're like, here's how it happens, is we don't know what we're getting. We basically just get allocated, like, oh, you're going to get 50 Tacomas next week.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even, they can't even, like, order what they want.
Okay.
So
interesting.
Long story short, I basically was just absolutely hounding every day looking at, like, the Toyota, you know, like, inventory or whatever. Found what I wanted, went over there. And I basically, because they're in such low supply right now, mm-hmm. I had to basically, as soon as the dealership was allocated that specific truck, where they get the VIN number and features and everything like that, I had to like reserve it. And I don't even know when it's coming.
Oh, okay. They say so you're basically like me when I did the Ford Lightning.
Yeah, but I actually have a VIN number.
Okay, okay. That's something. That's something.
So it's like the car is made.
It's just sitting, it's just waiting for like it to be like shipped to your local dealership.
Right, right.
Okay,
right.
So that's not so bad.
So I bought the car. I just don't know when I get it.
Okay, okay.
It's supposed to be in September.
Okay. Can you share some details about it? Like what's the color? What's the...
I got a 2023 Tacoma TRD off-road.
Ooh, nice. Okay.
And Lunar Rock, which is like, have you seen that like cement gray color?
Yeah.
Kind of like a matte color. It's that
okay.
mixed
like
with
that.
Army green. So it's Ooh. Almost like a light, like grayish, minty green kind of color. It's very interesting.
It's and got like, it's not like, it doesn't look like normal paints, right? Like it's got like, it's almost like flat, but it's not. It's
kind of flat. It's not. It's kind of green. It's kind of gray. It's kind of blue.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Derek, the one you're showing, that's the electric green one. There's like a slightly different color one. But yeah, I don't know. It's whatever they show on their website.
Is it that one right there?
It might be. But they had this sick orange one, but it was only available in the TRD Pro, which is like $15,000 more. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
What's the difference between a TRD Pro and a So which one did you get? The TRD Sport?
I got the TRD Off-Road.
Off-Road. Okay, that one there.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they have like different shocks and like different, you know.
Oh, well, you need the shocks. How are you going to run over pedestrians without the upgraded shocks?
I got to run over the Green Scooters podcast. That's what I got to do. Yeah, it's that color there, that like grayish, right next to the lime green. Derek, the one you're, that one there, called Lunar Rock.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Oh, so when I did a Instagram campaign with Toyota,
yeah,
they gave me a Toyota Tundra in that mm-hmm. same color.
It's kind of a neat color. And like yeah, some like sunlight, it's gray. Some sunlight, it's like blue. Some sunlight, it's cool. Green. It's kind of neat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You and it's that. One of those that like you're going to be like, oh, that's an interesting color. But I don't think it's going to be so ridiculous that in like a year I'm like, I hate this.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's like always, that lime green looks sick, but I was like, I think I'd get tired of that.
You get tired of it, I think. That's the thing I always do with cars. I'm always like, should I get black? Should I get white? Or should I go crazy this time and get some color that's, you know, like some special blue or red or something?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to get tired of that.
I know. That's why I actually asked Miranda. I was like, what color do you like the most? And she picked out that Lunar Rock color. I was like, all right, that's what I was thinking too. So I was like, we're on the same page.
Totally aligned.
Yeah, so.
I like it.
I'm excited. I mean, dude, there's nothing I hate more than going into a car dealership.
Now, let me ask you this. Did you go to the same dealership that was really pushy before?
I remember Hell no.
Okay.
Hell no. And the one I went to was like the one that even online, they're having the lowest prices because their whole thing is like, we're a volume dealership. We just want to try to get as many cars out as possible. So I'm like, I'm going to get the best price there, right?
Yeah, yep.
I mean, you're getting dicked when you buy a car, no matter what you do. So,
absolutely. I was talking to some people about this last weekend, and they were like trying to buy Toyota RAV4s. They were trying to buy Volkswagen Tiguans, and they're like every car company has a wait list
mm-hmm.
for their like most popular cars.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah. Like, if you go to a Toyota dealership, at least around here, the lots are empty.
Wow. Crazy.
So, like, everybody is buying them in transit right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, wait list for everything.
Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of why we started looking now, because like my car works fine. It's got 109,000 miles. I was like, you know, in the next year, I would like to get a new one. And I was like, I'll just wait till I find what I need. And if I don't get it until December, like, whatever, it doesn't matter.
If you wait for your current car to be on the verge of dying, you don't have a very strong negotiation position when you go to buy the new one, right?
Well, yeah, because I mean, I talked to Miranda and I was like, all right, you know, here's what they're asking for it. Here's what I'm willing to pay. You know, I'm going to add in tax. I'm going to add in, you know, like paying for your car title and all that kind of stuff. I was like, here's what it should be. And like we had basically, we did like the casino thing. You go in, you're like, here's the maximum I'm going to spend.
Yep.
And I was like, if they tell me anything over this number, we're just going to walk away. Because we can. Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's easy to walk away when you can drive home.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. It
becomes a lot harder all of a sudden when you're not sure that your current car is going to make it home.
Yeah. But now I'm like, man, I can't wait to just be able to throw stuff in the truck bed.
It's pretty nice. It's pretty nice. Have you sold your current car?
I'm going to trade it in. You know, okay. And I had to negotiate the hell out of that. But
yeah,
we got
that's
basically. So I spent just over 10,000, like barely 10,000 on that car. It's about 6 or 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it had like 18 or 20,000 miles on it when I bought it.
Oh, wow. You drove a lot.
Trading it in for with 109,000 miles for $9,000.
That's funny. Like, I remember the last truck I bought when I went and I did the trade-in thing. They're like, yeah, we'll give you about $10,000 for it. And I was like, that doesn't really drive with what my expectation was. So I sold it privately, and I think I sold it for 19 or 20.
Right. Right.
So the dealerships will generally try to dick you around when it comes to the trade-in.
But here's the thing. Like, everybody hates car dealerships.
Yeah.
But honestly, as a human being, it's a business.
Yeah. I know. Like, they got to make money too.
Right. Their goal is to get the car from you as cheap as possible and sell it for the most money. There's nothing inherently evil with that. You just have to know what your car is worth when you take it in.
And you also have to have a reasonable expectation of what is the convenience of just dropping this car off and driving away in the new one worth to me. Is that worth $1,000? Is that worth $2,000, $3,000? And you just got to kind of figure that out.
And could I have made more money if I sold that the Civic privately? Absolutely, I could. Yeah. But it's a hassle factor.
Yeah, would it be more work? You would have had to list it. You would have had to deal with people coming and kicking the tires and blah, 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 blah.
I don't have Facebook market thing, but what's the meme everybody always says? Like the...
look, people saying, like... What is
it? Like, is if they list available? Something. Yeah. Is this still available?
Yes. Yeah. Just oceans and oceans of, is this still available?
And then you get no response, right?
Yeah.
But we sold our last few cars on Carvana, actually.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
You can just go online. Well, you just go online, you enter your VIN, and you tell them what condition it's in, and they give you a quote right there.
Yeah.
So I would take that in with me to the dealerships.
Yeah.
And if they can't match that on trade-in, then I just go and sell it there.
Yeah.
And we've always had great experience with that. Or CarMax will give you CarMax, a quote online as well.
Right.
That you can use. Kelly Blue Book will give you generally a quote of what it should be worth.
Yeah.
Any of those, you use that as bargaining chip when you go for your trade-in.
Oh, for sure. There's a new one here in Canada. I don't know if it's down in the U.S. It's called Clutch, I think. I was looking at that for my truck.
We've got a bunch of the online car dealerships. We've got the Carvana. We've got Vroom.
Vroom, yeah.
I don't know. I think they're all pretty much the same.
I think Carvana's going bankrupt, though, aren't they?
They're having some rough times, for sure.
Is that the one with the vending machines?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
I've never actually got to do the vending machine, but we have one here.
I've seen them, but I've never used one. I actually had one of my best lady friends sold her car on Carvana, and they literally just like drove a flatbed to her house and just like towed it away and like, here's your check.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds kind of nice.
And they'll come to you and pick it up.
Yeah. She was like, it was so worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, headline I found is Carvana doesn't say the word bankruptcy, but its situation is alarming.
Sounds very political.
Yeah. That's a nice spin.
I think they were going through there a couple years ago and buying up a bunch of cars because whenever there was that big shortage and they were hoping to flip them all around and they weren't able to offload them as quickly as I think they wanted to.
Yeah. Oh, well, classic. Good times though.
Classic times. Conundrum.
Yeah.
Ugh. But other than the truck finally got that situated, kind of. It is 95% situated, I suppose. I've been spending. Well, the work has been wild. Finally caught up really? On some work stuff. It's been crazy like the past like month, but I finally have a little more breathing room. And been doing some more stuff on Fusion. I showed you last week I was modeling some like dust collection fittings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Got those all settled and whatnot, and I put them out in the shop today. And that was the first time where I literally took something that I made and like was able to like solve my problems with it. And I was like, this thing is nuts. So I basically, for anybody at home that's ever heard of the MagPort connectors, which are basically these like dust collection fittings that are magnetic, so they just go whoosh, and they snap together. They're amazing. They're pretty damn expensive. I want to say they're like somewhere about $40 to $50 for one pair. And I was able to, you know, I don't feel bad about this because I'm not selling them.
Mm-hmm.
Basically made the exact thing, bought my own magnets, and they're like maybe $2 a piece.
Right.
Right.
This is the nice thing about a 3D printer is you can solve a lot of problems really cheap. I think our guest for next week might sell a knockoff of the MagPort on.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I think that'd be actually what time? We got time? Yeah. I want to talk about this.
Okay.
Where do you draw the line between let's strictly keep it to making a product?
Okay.
For this discussion, where do you draw the line between inspiration and imitation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great question. I mean, there's probably a legal answer for this.
Right.
And then there's just also, like your own personal moral. I almost think, I don't know, maybe I don't believe this. I was going to say, I almost feel like, as long as you are not taking any, as long as you're recreating it from whole cloth, like it's just you and Fusion and you sit there and you figure it out.
That's what I did.
Yeah. So,
but my design looks very similar. Actually, if you look at the MagPort thing, it's a 4-inch like piece of PVC. Mm-hmm. And then around it, it's like a, how would you describe that? Like a
wiggly ring of magnets.
Yeah, think of a ring of magnets around this PVC so that the two PVC pieces attach to each other. Now, if I copied that exact design, which I did for the one that I am making for myself and not giving or selling to anybody, doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. Now, would I sell that exact same design? I don't think I would. However, what if I made the outside not squiggly and made it round? Is that different enough?
I don't think so. I mean, if they have this design patented, I think that would not be enough. I think it needs to be substantially different. What's the line for substantially different? I think this is kind of where lawyers make their money, right?
Right.
Arguing different sides.
Yeah, exactly. Derek, maybe your argument there is like, oh, there are 8 magnets. This isn't strong enough. What you really need is 10 or 11. Yeah. That's the Eric Spensley new version of this that makes this thing so better. I would feel like an absolute turd for putting that product out there, though. You know?
What about if you actually came up with, like, I'm looking at this thing right now and I'm thinking, why don't you have like a little registering indent on the inside?
Okay.
make an improvement.
And then have no magnets. Is that what you're saying?
Have no magnets, or just it be less likely to fall off. You probably get a better seal.
Oh, dude, it is wicked strong.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah. You have to pull hard to get those things off.
What about if you came up with a way to substantially improve the design?
I had almost considered, like, what if I took the same concept, but ditched the magnets and make it kind of a, where you push the two pieces together and then, like, twist it 90 degrees and they lock in, totally. Like, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Or even just a pressure fit. Like, what if it was just tapered a millimeter or something and you could just jam it in there and it would stay?
Kind of like what the Rockler dust something platform is, where they have, like, the pieces that they, it's Rockler, type in Rockler dust something. Maybe like dust attachment. Dust. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. The things that show up in the Google ads on the right. What's it called? Derek's looking it up for us. Dust right. Thank you.
Dust right. I've not seen those before. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, like corkscrewed.
Yeah.
They look like little butt plugs.
You learned that from the Green Series podcast. I feel like that's a perfect way to describe them. How would you describe those guys? They're a bunch of butt plugs. New merch item coming to the shop, so stay tuned. But so the dust rate system that Rockler has for that, I don't know, what's that, 2-inch? I think that's a 2. This is for like the small tools. They have a bigger one where they're like tapered pieces that jam into each other. But
yeah,
the problem with that design is if you like bump it, it might fall out. The magnet is like you got to pull that son of a gun to get it off.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. Honestly, I think I would sleep comfortably at night if I took the concept and I improved it to some significant degree, like either this twist and lock system that you're talking about, or, you know, maybe I flip it around and I put the magnets on the other side so that they pull through the plastic so that they can never come out. Have you ever had that with when you have two magnetic things that register on each other? The magnets get stuck to each other, then pull out of their socket.
Yeah, that's fair. Or what if around the collar where like your dust collection hose attaches to, you make some ridges on it to make it even more grippy or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
And is that different enough?
Yeah, I it would have to be a significant improvement.
Here's what you do. You do four magnets, and then you do the twist to lock mechanism together.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it's a really interesting discussion, though, to try to. That's what lawyers are for.
Exactly right. I guarantee that whoever came up with this saw some similar application in another industry, and they're like, "Oh, that'd be great for dust collection." They probably got it from some sewage pipe or something like that.
Right, right.
So
it's tough.
Yeah,
because it's such a damn good idea. And as soon as Keith Johnson was actually the one that recommended them to me, and I immediately went on the website and I go, "Whoo,
that's spicy."
$30 a fitting. Mm-hmm. So what that means, guys, if you're at home and you want to connect two pieces of like you know expandable flexible hose together. $60.
$60. They have that. What's that kit in the top left corner?
Yeah, the 10-piece starter kit, $99. You get three of them.
Right.
You get three. Why is it called hose clamps? Oh, hose clamps.
Pinky little rings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? You're like, and I'll be honest with you. I bought $200. I bought two of those. Instantly went on the website, bought two of them.
Wait, why do you buy them if you made them?
Well, no. This was like a year ago when Keith recommended
them. Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha.
And I'm like, I will never use flex hose without these.
Yeah. I actually don't have it. I've been meaning to do it for the longest time.
I'll send you my file and you can just 3D print them.
Okay, yeah, let's do that. That sounds good.
Then all you have to do is add in the magnets and add like a little of epoxy in the back so the magnets don't come out. Perfect. Boom, done.
Okay, let's do that. Maybe I'll improve your design and I'll start selling it and see if you get mad. Sand
your magnets? Jackass. What did you say, Derek?
I said, do you sand your magnets before you epoxy them in?
No, because I have to hammer them and they're like
They're tight in that recess. And then I used some of this. Kristen from Total Boat sent me this new epoxy. It's a one part, and you pour it in, and then it's got this little flashlight, and you just shine the flashlight on it.
I got some UV.
Yeah, and it instantly cures UV.
That's really cool. There's a Rubio Rubio monocoat that you can cure with a UV light.
Yeah, I have that, and I'm kind of bummed because I had it way before Cam from Blacktail had it.
Yeah,
I just haven't done any content on it, and now he's posting about it, and he's actually. It's actually the company Vesting. Remember the one that went out of business? They got bought by somebody else, and Cam is rebranding their stuff.
Son
of a bitch. Yeah. Well played.
Yeah, well done. Well done.
But it's not like I had any affiliate codes on it or anything.
Yeah.
But that oil, it's nice. The problem, oil's not that expensive. It's like the same price as Rubio. You know what the problem is?
What's that?
The light. Is like $1,500.
But can't you just get a UV flashlight? Or like...
I think
they come in different wavelengths.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know there was different language. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Okay.
I actually got a kit the other day online, and there's two different resins, and they use two different, slightly different wavelengths of flashlight that came with them.
Oh.
So one of them is a softer, more flexible, and the other one is harder... and more rigid. So neat. If you want the more rigid one, you go with like this. It's almost a slightly darker wavelength and vice versa.
Hmm.
I got the screen protector for my phone. It was so I have the Samsung phone, and the annoying thing about the Samsung phone is they have curved edges, like the display kind of rolls over. So if you want a tempered glass screen protector, like every person should have on their phone, the screen protector also has to be curved. Yeah. And for whatever reason, people have never been able to figure it out to the point where they don't just break instantly. So I got this one, and you would put a little bit of resin on the screen of your phone and then put the glass on it, and it would fill like the little micro gap between the glass and your screen, and then you would cure it with a UV light. It was like the most intense screen protector install I've ever done, but it worked really well.
Okay. I want to ask you about that. So I got one of those for my Apple Watch.
Oh, okay, cool.
My problem was I'd put it on there, put the resin on there. I was like, oh, man, this looks perfect.
Yeah.
But if I like, you know, because the watch is on your wrist, right? If I would like happen to bang it up against something, it popped that thing off so fast.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh. It was on my phone for like a year without any problem.
Okay. I wonder if it's because on the watch it was like that little lip was exposed and you could like
maybe
bang the edge of it.
Maybe. I'm surprised Apple hasn't. So I have this Garmin watch and it has a screen made of sapphire.
Okay.
And sapphire is like stupid hard. Like I wear this watch to work. I wear it in the shop. Like I've demolished houses while wearing this watch. It doesn't have a scratch anywhere on the screen.
And maybe this thing is super durable. I just don't know. And I know they make that like the Ultra watch.
I think maybe the Ultra one has the sapphire.
And I'd consider getting that one because it's also is a scuba diving computer. And I was like, oh, that would be nice to have. But
let's see, Apple Watch Ultra. Does it have sapphire? Sapphire's cool. They should make phone screens out of sapphire. There was talk about doing that for a while.
So I know they do like every year they come up with more and more technology for like screens and glass and stuff like that. Do you actually need a screen protector on your phone now or everybody?
Great
just
question.
So used to it?
So I've tried my last phone. I didn't get a screen protector. I was like, I'm just going to raw dog this phone.
Right.
And it got pretty scratched up pretty quick.
Okay.
It wasn't like big, deep scratches, but if you were outside in the sun and the sun hit it the right way, you'd be like, oh man, this thing is scratched all hell.
You've seen my phone though, right? Like,
yeah,
mine's like cracked like crazy.
But
and I just haven't replaced the screen protector because I'm too damn lazy.
Yeah.
But
you know what? I treat myself every like 3 or 4 months and just throw a fresh screen protector on my phone. It makes the phone feel
YouTube
brand new again.
Money.
Yeah, exactly.
Derek, did you find out what the Apple thing's made out of?
I'm scrolling through trying to find it. It's
It's a long. No mention of Sapphire, though, eh?
As someone who enjoys Apple products, I hate their website. It annoys the piss out of me.
Yeah. It's the thing we were talking about before, that you scroll down the page and stuff just pops up at you. It's just, give me the information in a nice organized way. Don't get all fancy with the animations. Yeah. It's a website, not a, right. You know, not a keynote presentation.
I have to say, what I've realized a lot recently, and it's because I'm diving into, that's a good pun there somewhere. Mm-hmm. I'm diving into trying to buy a bunch of scuba stuff. Mm-hmm. It is so damn hard to go on any website and just be like, oh, what's the difference between this and this? Like,
yeah,
you have to know so much about what you're buying to be able to delineate the difference. Same with tools. Like, you can't go to the store and be like, oh, what's the difference between all these drills?
Well, and the crazy thing is, a lot of the time, these manufacturers will lie. They'll say our drill goes up to 3,250 RPM. And then you'll see some independent tests and be like, actually, it only got up to 2,800 RPM.
Right.
They just say that so that they can one-up Milwaukee or whatever.
It's the specifications war. Like, oh, they go to 3,000, we go to 3,100.
Exactly. Because some people do shop that way. They're just like, okay, this one's 3,100, it's better. But it's not always the case that that's accurate.
It's frustrating.
Very.
Like, I mean, and it's not just scuba or woodworking stuff. It's every industry. You go to buy a car. You're like, I don't know. Like, what's the difference between this package? You have to work so damn hard to figure out what the difference between all of the individual packages on one car. And then if you go with a different trim level, oh, forget about it. Like,
changes it completely.
Yeah, it's insane. The one that always gets me in cars is sometimes they actually underrate how powerful they are. And I've never really understood why they do that.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like a legal disclaimer.
Yeah, maybe. I don't
like
know.
Like if they say 300 horsepower, if somebody puts in a dyno and it only comes up to 290, are they going to like lose their shirt on it, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe they don't want to step on their higher end cars.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you want to spend more money and get the next one up because it's getting 50 more horsepower or whatever.
I don't know. But these companies obviously make a lot more money than we do. So they must know what they're doing.
They got it figured out.
Yeah. That's annoying, though.
Speaking of having it figured out, what do you say we figure out the after show?
Woo! that was transition? A segue if I've ever heard one.
I'm getting very thirsty. I need to grab a drink. So
okay, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. And I made it through the main show without having to go to the bathroom.
There you go.
That was what delayed us earlier. I had too many vegetables for dinner.
Oh, that kind of bathroom.
That's what people are coming to this podcast for.
That's what that's a high fiber diet right there.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, this might be a crappy podcast. But the green suitors is worse. Wait.
There it is. That was loud.
Yeah, that was loud. Hopefully that was a little quieter. But we head over to the after show. We'll jump on the yacht, head over to the after show. We got some questions. We actually have an interactive question.
Hell yeah.
That came with a photo.
Yeah, thank you to our patron Jesper for that. So if you want to figure out what Jesper sent us, join us on Patreon. Check out
and
the show.
If you want to find out who our guest is next week.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we'll tease that as well.
Yeah. Well, we got some good stuff to talk about over in the after show. And on that note, that's where we're heading. So if you want to, you know, join our fight against the Green Series podcast, the worst woodworking podcast available on Apple and Spotify, head over to patreon.com/offthecutpodcast and unlock a bunch of cool features. I was trying to come up with a big word. It's a bunch of cool features. And you support the show so we don't have to blast you with obnoxious ads about life insurance and stuff like that.
All the fun stuff we do on our other platforms.
Podcast free since
ad free.
Ad free since episode Inception. 3. I don't know.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I like that. It's got a little rhyme to it.
Something like that. Unlike the Green Sewers podcast, who had ads and it was awful. It annoyed the piss out of you.
Do they actually have ads?
Oh, yeah. Not anymore.
Not anymore, right.
But they used to, and that's why it sucks so much.
What are you going to do?
But see, they wised up. They started listening to our podcast. They're like, oh, the pros don't do ads. We should stop.
Ad-free is the way to go.
Uh-huh, it is. But if you want to help us keep it ad-free, go over to Patreon. Or don't. It's your choice.
See you next week, everybody. Peace out. See ya.